There was once a girl. She was beautiful. However, something went terribly wrong. Call it an accident, call it an illness, it doesn't matter. It was just very, very bad. She'd been warned, but she didn't heed the warning. This terrible thing that happened meant the girl had become terribly disfigured and ill. She no longer looked like she did before. She wasn't beautiful anymore, and no one would look at her. Her dreams of getting married seemed over. It looked like she was destined for a terrible life and then eventually death. There was once a man. He loved the girl in our story. He loved her when she was beautiful, but he still loved her when things went bad for her, when she became ill and disfigured. The girl didn't realise this, but the man set out, to use an old-fashioned word, to court her, to woo her, to win her. She tried to hide her scars. She tried herself to make it look better, to make herself look more presentable, but she couldn't. And the man loved her anyway. Then a cure was found. A cure was found for the girl. But the only way for the cure to be effective was for the man who loved her to sacrifice his very life for her, which he did. He sacrificed his life so that she could be healed and restored to her former beauty, to be perfect and spotless. Even after this, sometimes she would forget and she would hide herself and try and cover up, maybe work at being more acceptable. But she was already acceptable. And then this happened. Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage, it's wedding time. Her dreams of being married are being fulfilled, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That girl's story is our story. We were disfigured by sin, by rebelling against God, by going our own way. But Jesus died so he could restore us to our former glory. The way we were intended to be, the way God always wanted us to be, the way we were in the beginning. This is all about the restoration and healing of mankind. It's our story. And if you've been here for the last couple of months, you'll know we've been going through Isaiah 61. And we've been looking at that in terms of our vision as a church, who we're called to be, why we're here as a church, what we're here for. We're here to bring good news to the poor, liberty to the captives. And we're here to bring restoration and healing, just as restoration and healing has been brought to us. I'm not going to read the whole of Isaiah 61 now. I was going to, but I'm not going to for now, because I want us to finish in good time for us to be able to respond today. But Isaiah 61:4, which is what I'm focused on today, which is why I've told that story, says this. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. You see, this is about our salvation, our need for restoration and healing. But you know, sometimes even though we've received that, we forget about it. We miss our place and our position in Christ. We forget our identity. We try and make things better ourselves. We forget that we are seated in heavenly places right now. We are restored. We are healed. We are forgiven. We are God's children, as we sang. It's a great thing to meditate on. I am a child of God. We need to keep saying that. We need to keep saying that until it gets right down in our hearts and we start acting like we really believe it. I am a child of God. That's who I am. I am restored and I am healed. Those former ruins, the devastations, they've been rebuilt. We're restored. This is the gospel, the good news. It is good news. But the thing is, we have to remember that the gospel isn't just for when we make that first decision to become a Christian. Actually, it's for every day. Because every day we need to re-understand that we're restored, we're healed, we're forgiven, we are a child of God. We need to know that every day. We need the gospel every day. Quite often we talk about going out with the good news, going out with the gospel, as if it's something that only goes out. But actually it's also something that we have to apply to our lives day in, day out. That we are restored, we are healed. The wedding that I read there from Revelation, that's the church, the people of God united with Christ at the end of time, when we will be presented to Jesus as his spotless bride. Spotless, no blemish. That's us. That is our future. That's what we've got to look forward to. But actually, we look at that as not just the future, but the now. That's who we are now. We are the bride of Christ. We are his bride, his people. He set out to court us, to woo us, to win us by his very death so that we could be presented to him as his spotless bride at a fantastic wedding feast. That, you're invited. You know that, don't you? You're the church. Not only are you invited, you're the bride. You're going to be there. On that day, at the wedding feast, it's fantastic. This is who we are as a church. But what about now? How do you feel about that now? How do you feel about that when things aren't good? They're not going well. Things, obviously, bits of your body aren't healed. How do you feel about that now? Because our experience is that while we know that this is something that is us, we are the bride, we're going to be presented spotless, our identity is in Christ, we're restored, we're healed, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, I think is the line of a hymn, isn't it? That's us. But actually, there's more of that to come because it's not all here yet. But if we as a church, and the reason for speaking on this as part of Isaiah 61 is that we want to be a church of restoration and healing. We want to be a place where when Christians come, they understand that, they know that, they are treated that way. But also we want for those who we then meet, those we go out to, those who come into us, to know that there is that this is a place of restoration and healing. We want that to be in the very DNA of who we are as a church. We want it to be part of our culture as a church. That is a place of restoration and healing. But that starts with us. We have to know that. We have to understand that. We have to be living out the gospel every day. We know the Bible talks about us being transformed from one degree of glory to another. We know we're a work in progress. If you don't know you're a work in progress, go and ask someone you know, am I a work in progress? And they'll say, yes, you are a work in progress. You're not completed yet. That's part of the not yet. Or rather, that's part of the now. The not yet is, you'll get there. It will be completed. So the question is, where do you need healing today? Where do you need restoration today? Is it healing of a physical kind, an emotional kind, a psychological kind? Is it healing and restoration of relationships? What do you need today? Because if this is going to be part of our culture as a church, if this is going to be part of who we are as people come in, then we need to know that whenever we need it, we're going to God for it. And we're talking to one another about it. And we're being honest with each other about it, saying, actually, do you know what? Pray for me. I need this. We had a prophetic word many years ago that we as a church would be like a field hospital. And a field hospital is a place of restoration and healing. But it's a place of restoration and healing on the battlefield. The battlefield is as we go out into the world and take the kingdom of God with us, there's opposition to that. And we take the kingdom with us because we are kingdom people. That's who we are. We are part of the kingdom of God. We're part of the rule and reign of God. We are under his rule and reign. And we take that out with us into a world that doesn't acknowledge it. And so it's like we're in a battle. And we get injured in this battle. We get hurt in this battle. We need healing and restoration in this battle. And so we need to be a field hospital where people can be healed and restored. But a field hospital is not a place of long-term convalescence. There's a sense of the always moving forward about it. Yes, there are times when we need to take time out and we need to be restored before we can go again. But there always has to be that sense of, this is so that I can go again. This is so I can keep heading out. This is so I can do more and keep taking the kingdom out to those who don't know it, who don't understand it. We're not taken out permanently. You see, I think sometimes the danger is that we, when we find ourselves in need of restoration and healing, we can sort of retreat, potentially. Sometimes retreat's necessary for a short time, but we can retreat and say, well, I need to get everything sorted first. But in Isaiah 58, verse 10 to 12, it says this: if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins, note the same language here as Isaiah 61, your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. We cannot sit back until everything is right in our lives because we'd never get anything done. But what this is saying is as you go, as you serve, as you take the gospel out, the good news out, as you spend yourself for those in need, God will bring healing and restoration to you. Actually, that's part of it. It's part of our restoration and healing is going out and serving others. Too often we withdraw. But we need to carry on. But where do we go to? Who do we go to? That brings us neatly onto what we're taking out. And okay, if this is a place of restoration and healing, how is that then going to help other people? You see, it's no good for us receiving restoration and healing and then not taking that out and sharing it with others. That's no good. That's part of what that Isaiah verses in Isaiah 58 are getting at. It is for our benefit that this is a place of restoration and healing. It is for our benefit, but not just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of others. It's for the benefit of all those who need it, those who we meet, those who we know. My family, I can go back probably five generations in my family along one side of it of those who are Christians. And it's a great blessing. But there are so many who have no generations of Christians in their family They have no experience of the kingdom of God. They have no experience of Jesus. They don't know anything. What God wants is to break into those generations and say, it starts now. It starts here with your friends, your family. God wants to break into those families and say that generational blessing of one set becoming Christians and their children and their children and their children. It's got to start somewhere. Somewhere in my family history, someone spoke to one of my relatives and said, you need to know Jesus. And I'm massively blessed as a result. So as we go out and take restoration and healing, we break into those generations and we say, it starts now for those people. There are so many people in need. So many people who need to hear this good news of restoration and healing. The more we reach out to others, and specifically the poor and the needy, the more we'll see God's blessing and the more we'll know God's presence. It's not the reason we do it. We do it because we know the compassion of God for people. We know the compassion of God for people. We know how compassionate God is to us, and so we share that compassion with others. But guess what? We benefit as a result. God blesses us. We know more of his presence. But if we just, for those of you who were at the Methodist church last week when we had the unity service, we were talking about being salt of the earth. And my challenge to the churches was that it's all, I had a couple of salt cellars. I said, it's all very well. This is salt in these cellars here. But it's absolutely useless if it just stays in there. If it doesn't get beyond the salt cellar, then it's worthless, it's useless, it's not doing what it was designed for. The challenge is that we get outside of the walls and we shake the salt out of the salt cellars and we become salt of the earth by being amongst people who need the flavour of God in their lives. And that's the challenge to us as a church. That's the challenge to the church. So I want to look now at our response to this very briefly, and then I want us to spend time responding. I'm deliberately keeping this short because I believe there are people here who need prayer for healing, for restoration. So what's our response to this? Do you know, one of the songs we sung, it struck me, I had to note it down, the song called Oceans that we sang, says, one of the lines says, God has never failed me, and he won't start now. I love that line. Actually, we look back at what God's done, and he hasn't failed us ever. And so why would he start now? He won't. And so as we come to respond, and there are steps of faith that need taking, our comfort is, as I take a step of faith, God won't start failing me now. Because he hasn't so far, and he's not going to start now. So how are we going to respond? I haven't said do the slides, but if you can go to the last one. That's it. We're going to respond in these ways. In a moment, we're going to respond for ourselves and with one another for healing and restoration. I look around and I think I know everybody here today, so there aren't any amongst us. We don't know Jesus, but so we won't be responding that way. But there'll be plenty to respond to for one another here. Another way to respond is by looking at who you can be sharing healing and restoration with. Who do you know that needs to understand this? Who do you know that needs restoration and healing? They may be a Christian, they may not be. The third one here, telling our stories. We, right from the very beginning at Grace Church, have encouraged people to share their stories, to make friends. Go out, make friends, tell your story. Actually, we've probably not really then equipped people with how to tell your story, because not everybody does that naturally. So Helen Gallagher and Steve have been in touch with a guy that we heard speak in Worcester, who is part of, he's one of the leaders at Church in the Peak in Matlock in Derbyshire. And he's going to come down and do some training with us. that he's got from somewhere else, and he's done with a number of others, on just some practical help on sharing your story, on being able to articulate what God has done in your life, and good ways of telling that to others, ways that they have seen really go well. The tentative date for that is the 19th of March. It's a Saturday. It would be from 10 till 2. That date is yet to be 100% nailed down. And more information will come out soon. But we're looking to do that, because we want to equip one another to be able to share their stories even more effectively. And then here's another way that you could bring restoration and healing, that you could take this out from who we are. Street prayer. Street prayer is a Churches Together in Bromsgrove initiative that's done once a month on the street in Bromsgrove. Jared leads it, and you can be on a rota to do that. I don't like the word rota. I prefer serving dates. It's a date for you to serve. I just think that's nicer and more reflective of what we're doing. I have just gone, I've done this now, so I can say this, okay? I am now on the rota, and I've been to it once. Can I encourage you? Okay, I find that really uncomfortable. It's not my natural thing. You may be surprised at that, because I do this, but I am really bad at going up to people I don't know. But I'm saying, no, I think this is important for us, and I think it will become increasingly important over the year. So I'm encouraging you, let's get out in the streets of Bromsgrove and pray for people. What could possibly go wrong? What's the worst that could happen? Someone could say no. That's what I tell myself when I go. Let's pray for people. Let's take it out there where God's speaking to us, and let's do it. Let's be outside the walls. Let's be salt and light on the streets in Bromsgrove. There's a great challenge. Come with us and do it. I've only done it for half an hour so far. Let me come clean on that. But I am now on the dates. So those are some ways we could respond. But what I want to do is I want us to respond now. I'm not going to go through that anymore. Because actually, for us to be this to others, we need to be it to one another. And we need to be able to do that well and do that honestly with one another. So what I want us to do is, in a moment, we'll stand together, and I'll ask Paul to play, because I think we'll probably end with some worship as well. And I'm going to get you to stand, and then I want us to respond to that. So Paul, if you could, that'd be great. And then here's if we could stand together. And I want us just to be open. Jonathan's word that he brought earlier from Genesis, I think, was absolutely spot on. The Holy Spirit hovers. He's with us. He is here. He's with us. And I believe he's speaking to people now about what they need in terms of healing and restoration. And I believe there are people here for whom that building metaphor of restoring the walls is really important. And I think God is speaking to a number of people on this. But you know that as restoration of a building happens, and that's a building metaphor, sometimes things need to be taken out and rebuilt properly. Foundations need to be relaid. Walls need to be set straight. Some things need to be taken down. And I just feel the Holy Spirit is on people, and he's saying to people, actually, there's just a few things I need to remove. Let's get rid of these things, because they're not helping. And you need space for me to be able to build what's right and what's good and what's going to bring real restoration to this building, to you, to this building, to Grace Church. So let's just close our eyes. Let's focus on God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's just spend time in his presence.